Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Bob Surratt.
I am the morning DJ at
WGN. It is 7:40 right now. Twitter has shared some insights on their election integrity work, and on the Team Hyper phone line now at 7:40 to talk about that and more, social media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Good morning, Scott. You kept us up to date on everything Twitter was doing to make its platform safe during the election. How did it do overall?
Well, Bob, it seems pretty well. So the trick now is, you know, how are they going to carry over the positive news when we're outside of the election season finally? But when it came to those election labels that warned when something was disputed or said to be misinformation, there were about 300,000 tweets that Twitter ended up labeling. And of those, 456 received that stronger warning message where they made the ability to share the tweet limited. So you had to do other things to actually share it. Many of those ended up being on Donald Trump's account, which is kind of strange. Well, maybe not so strange. And of the labeled tweets, there was a 29% decrease in the people who retweeted them. And that is exactly what Twitter wanted to happen.
What did they do? Did they turn off the retweet? They changed something there, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They added an extra step. So you had to quote tweet, meaning you had to add context to the tweet before you can retweet it. And that was to keep people from just wildly hitting retweet, because that's what we generally tend to do. And there was about a 20% decrease in retweeting overall with this extra step added. So it certainly made for less misinformation with a 20% decrease, but I do wish that number was a little bit higher.
Yeah, that's like throwing a marble in the Grand Canyon. So now is all of this going to go back to how it used to be?
Well, Twitter says the work is going to continue to control the spread of misinformation, you know, on its platform. So I think the things that work will continue to be a thing, but I think that they're going to change things around and see what sticks and what doesn't, you know. And there really does, though, need to be a lot more outside-the-box thinking. Labels and such, you know, that was a good start. But eventually, if you think about it, they're just going to become background noise, and people aren't going to take them seriously because they're going to become so used to them. But on the bright side, they have 4 years to get it better. But, of course, 4 years is a huge amount of time in tech. So, you know, we don't know what social media is going to look like then, and there could be a lot more advancements that make things better. Twitter does say now that they plan to release a much bigger report on the election in January. So I'm definitely looking forward to reading that.
Let's talk about Instagram. It looks a little different now, doesn't it?
Yeah. You might remember we talked a few months ago, you and I, about Reels, which is Instagram's attempt at a TikTok-like product. And it's been available for a while, but not front and center. Now they're making it front and center. Reels has its own dedicated tab at the bottom of the app. So there's also, next to that, a dedicated tab to shopping. So you can now buy things directly off of Instagram.
And is this mostly because things change when we get used to them, or is there something else going on here?
Well, you know, shopping, I think that has more to do with the holiday season than anything else, trying that out. Reels seems to be because of all the attention TikTok is getting. You know, Instagram is really, really interested in using its size and scale to compete in that space, especially since there's this constant threat of a TikTok shutdown hanging over. So, you know, they want to get it, you know, on the ball while they still can. But, you know, here's the thing. You and I, we've talked many times about people being loyal to certain platforms. People don't just change for the sake of changing. The thing about TikTok is it's wildly popular. There are estimates of it reaching 1.2 billion users next year, billion with a B. And Reels, you know, they have a lot of videos now that are actually just TikTok uploads in the, you know, just on Instagram. And that's got to be something that drives Instagram crazy, I would think. So at the end of the day, this is probably going to turn into a very interesting social media war.
So from your perspective, is that a bad thing?
Oh, no, it's not a bad thing. I mean, competition's good for everyone. It makes people and companies nimble, and, you know, a battle between two giant popular platforms, you know, has to be fun to watch. The biggest annoyance that I have, though, is the tab where the search function used to be is now the shopping tab. So every time I go to search, I click the shopping tab. But here's the thing. That's not an accident. That's very clever. They know that I'm doing that. They know that we're doing that. And it's just, it's a really interesting thing.
You know, we finally, Marianne and I finally watched The Social Dilemma. That is one scary documentary. Have you seen that?
Yeah. And it is extremely scary. You know, we don't necessarily think about how much social media takes over our lives and how controlled we are by the things that we're used to and the things that we do. So, yeah, definitely, definitely scary.
Yeah, highly recommended. And we're about to get social media strategist Scott Kleinberg's helpful Instagram tips. Scott?
For sure. I love Instagram, Bob, and I've been using it since it was released in 2010. So here's my favorite three. So more hashtags on Instagram, that is okay. You want to do two, maybe three tops on Twitter, but I've actually put 8 or 9 on Instagram. On Twitter, it looks spammy. On Instagram, it's very helpful to organize. My second is emoji. They're universal on Instagram. So if you've ever questioned whether you should include an emoji in a post, you should do it on Instagram, and you should be creative. And my third one is be sure to try out Instagram stories. It's not the same as regular Instagram. The content should be different than what's on your feed. So the way to differentiate it is think of your feed first, things that you want to keep for years and come back and look at, and think of stories for quick things and events that happen within 24 hours.
Who's using Instagram now? Have the kids moved on to something else?
Oh, no. In fact, the kids are still using Instagram, and Instagram is still a young platform for sure. And the reason why Instagram is making Reels so front and center, like we just talked about, is for that very reason, because these younger people are still using Instagram. So definitely it's still popular with the older set as well, but definitely popular for the kids as well.
And I've been hearing something about a new platform that's competing, I guess, with Twitter and Parler, that's it.
Parler.
What do you know about that? Anything?
Well, it's really fascinating. Parler is one of those social media platforms that's taking advantage of the time that we live in. So they are a popular destination for people who are conservative, right-wing, you know, that type of political stance. Mm-hmm. And they are basically promising that they're not going to fact-check or they're not going to censor anything. So basically, the people who are getting flagged on Twitter and not able to say things, they're going to Parler to say whatever they want. This isn't the first time that there have been social media platforms that have taken advantage of the time and trying to, you know, make a stand. And this is not the first time that an app has been the number one app downloaded on the Apple App Store, which is happening with Parler as well. It's also backed, as far as I know, by some pretty big money and some pretty big conservative names. So that'll be very interesting to watch, but certainly not a mainstream platform and probably not going to become a mainstream platform. But anytime that there are people who are interested in fighting against what is the traditional with Twitter and Facebook, that's going to be something that's going to be newsworthy.
All I know is after watching that documentary, The Social Dilemma, I'm frightened now to ever hit like. And when I'm on YouTube, I don't want to look at anything they suggest, because that's how they track you, right?
That is definitely a thing. And I think there are a lot of people who have watched it like you and have felt the exact same way. But the thing that happens with social media is it used to be one of those luxuries, and now it's such an entrained part of our lives. And people who have said, you know, I'm going to stop using Facebook, I'm going to stop using YouTube, they find that they can't do it. They find that they can't stay in touch with people. And I'm with you, you know, even in my profession, you know, it's a scary place to be, but you just have to know how to navigate it.
Yeah, Yeah, I don't get that. I'm just turning it off 100%. You should be able to get on there and then get off and have some willpower, shouldn't you?
Well, you would hope so, but the longer you use it, the less willpower we seem to
yeah,
have.
That's true. Scott Kleinberg, always good and always informative to chat with you, Scott. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Bobby. Take care.